Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Today we're diving into a really fascinating study that just came out in Alzheimer's and dementia. And I think you're going to find this one interesting because it challenges some conventional wisdom about one of the most talked about genetic risk factors in dementia research. So here's the setup. We all know about APOE epsilon 4, right? It's probably the most famous Alzheimer's risk gene. If you've done any reading on dementia genetics, you've heard about it. And most people in the research community assume that if you're looking for early signs of Alzheimer's pathology, especially using blood biomarkers, APOE epsilon-4 status should be front and center in your model. But this new paper is saying, well, not so fast. The researchers looked at a specific population, adults with Down syndrome, and they did something really important. They took plasma-based proteomic profiles and asked whether these blood tests could actually predict who has amyloid positivity. And then here's the key question. Does it matter if you have APOE epsilon 4 or not? Does that change how well the test works? Let's talk about why Down syndrome matters here for a second. People with Down syndrome have an extraordinarily high risk of developing Alzheimer's disease, and they develop it much earlier than the general population. So studying biomarkers in this group is actually incredibly clinically relevant. You're looking at people who are at really high risk, and you need tools that can identify who's showing signs of amyloid pathology before symptoms appear. Now, the study itself is cross-sectional, so we need to keep that in mind. But what they did was take a plasma proteomic panel and see how well it could detect amyloid PET positivity. That's actual amyloid in the brain, captured on imaging. And the results? They got a 96% AUC. Let me just say that again. 96%. That's really, really good. For context, if you're over 0.9, you're doing excellent. These researchers hit 0.96. Here's what's interesting, though, and this is where the APOE part comes in. This performance held whether they included APOE epsilon 4 status in the model or not. It was still 96% either way. So what actually mattered? What were the strongest contributors to the model's performance? The top factors were age, which maybe isn't surprising, but the two biomarkers that really drove it were glial fibrillary acidic protein, GFAP, and phosphorylated Tau-181. These are neuroinflammation and tau markers, respectively. And honestly, that makes a lot of biological sense when you think about it. These markers are capturing the actual pathological processes happening in the brain. Okay, so why is this finding important? Because there's this assumption, baked into a lot of research and clinical practice, that APOE epsilon-4 carriers are fundamentally different when it comes to biomarker detection. The idea is that maybe the pathology progresses differently, or maybe these blood tests just work better in some genetic backgrounds than others. And what this paper is saying is, not really. At least not in this population. Now, I want to be careful here. This doesn't mean APOE epsilon 4 is unimportant for understanding Alzheimer's risk. It's still a major genetic risk factor. But what it does suggest is that when you're building a blood-based biomarker test to detect amyloid pathology, APOE status is almost like noise. The signal from the actual pathological proteins, the tau, the glial activation, is so strong that it drowns out whatever influence APOE epsilon 4 has. That's actually a really elegant finding because it makes the test more universally applicable. You don't need to stratify by genotype. You don't need to worry that the test performs differently in different genetic backgrounds. You can use the same cutoff, the same model, for everyone. And I think there's another implication here too. It suggests that in Down syndrome specifically, the path to amyloid accumulation might be somewhat independent of the genetic risk factors that matter so much in sporadic Alzheimer's disease. The triplication of chromosome 21 in Down syndrome is already such a massive genetic driver that maybe APOE epsilon-4 is just background noise by comparison. So what does this mean in practice? The researchers point out some really concrete applications. First, this makes blood-based screening much more scalable and cost-effective for clinical triage in Down syndrome populations. You don't need to do genetic testing before you run the plasma biomarker test. Second, it could help with monitoring. If you want to track progression of amyloid pathology in asymptomatic individuals, these blood tests can do it reliably. And third, and this is crucial for the research community, this improves our ability to select participants for Alzheimer's disease clinical trials. You can identify amyloid-positive individuals, regardless of their genetic background, and enroll them confidently. What I find really compelling about this study is that it's the kind of research that moves the field forward by questioning assumptions that everyone just takes as given. APOE epsilon-4 is important, absolutely. But in this context, it's not the bottleneck. The real signal is coming from the pathology markers themselves. As we move toward using blood biomarkers as a standard part of clinical practice, especially in high-risk populations like Down syndrome, having this kind of validation that the tests work regardless of common genetic variants is reassuring. It means we can build simpler, more universal tools for the clinic. The paper was published in Alzheimer's and Dementia, and if you're working in dementia research or clinical care, especially with Down syndrome populations, it's definitely worth a read. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.